Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Back in August of 2011, Matt Power, now president with 180 Intermediaries, wrote a column for Best Review magazine titled, When the Flood Comes, Climate History Study Raises the Specter of a Repeat and Devastating California Storm. In that column, Matt went on to quote research scientist Dr. Lori Johnson, who said that the devastating California flooding of 1861 and 1862 likely was neither a freak occurrence nor the worst flooding that California has ever experienced. I'm John Weber with AM Best TV. Both Dr. Lori Johnson and Matt Power join us now. And Lori, let's set the stage, would you, for us? Tell us about that flood of some 160 years ago and why you believe that may not have been the worst of it.
Well, thanks, John. Yeah, you know, that was only 12 years into California's history, and just a few million people lived here. So, you know, when you think about something like that happening again today with 40 million people in the state of California, it's a really different scenario. But what's important to understand is that was a series of arc storms or atmospheric rivers hitting the state, both Southern and Northern California. So very similar to this storm we had recently. But the series of storms went on for 43 days, caused flooding across the entire state. The entire Central Valley was flooded. We didn't have the levee system that we have today protecting Sacramento and other areas in the Central Valley, as well as the Bay Area and the Los Angeles, San Diego area. So very widespread flooding, so much so that the state capital of Sacramento actually temporarily moved for a period of time because the city was underwater. And also, I think history tells that the bay flowed continuously, didn't have its tidal effects for many months because so much river was coming out of the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta into the San Francisco Bay. So really different conditions than anything we've seen in modern times.
Matt, there's an old saying that those who do not remember history are doomed to repeat it. Would you say, I guess, that we're seeing something of a repeat of that?
I don't think we are seeing conditions akin to what Laurie described in 1861. That period of rainfall was tremendous, and there were so many, you know, antidotes from that period. San Mateo looked like a group of islands. You know, Sacramento was passable by steamboat. And so that was a really remarkable weather event. Now, what was interesting to note is that the researchers that were involved in this U.S. Geological Survey that Laurie and others were involved in the 2010 timeframe, is they were able to take soil samples from San Francisco Bay and Santa Barbara area, and they can see that this is a storm system that has manifested itself at different points in history. Typically, 167-year intervals, they have had, you know, true arc storms. And so, as Laurie points out aptly, the population of California was de minimis in 1861. There was not a lot of infrastructure, certainly very little in the way of flood management systems as we have today. Yet, you overlay that event in terms of today's infrastructure population growth, and you have a potential economic loss that's in excess of $1 trillion. And so it's something for planners to be thinking about, for politicians to be paying attention to, the industry to be paying attention to. You know, I think, again, you look past, you know, the current, you know, time frame to, you know, what's happened in history, and it's going to recur. It has occurred on numerous occasions in the past. And so that's something that we need to constantly be on the lookout for.
Customize your data experience. Best Link now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
But according to the piece you wrote, the U.S. Geological Survey was sounding the alarm about the possibility of California flooding nearly 15 years ago.
Well, I think that's right. And I think, you know, Laurie would probably have some pretty good observations on, you know, the impact that study had and some of the efforts that around flood management in the state of California over the last 10 or 20 years. there seems to be, from my view, some, you know, significant investment and improvements. Whether or not they are enough to counter the effects of that 1861 scenario remains to be seen.
So back in 2011, Lori, you said that the storm model suggests potential flooding of more than 6,000 square miles, with some areas succumbing to flood depths of 10 to 20 feet. Orange County, Los Angeles County, San Diego, and the San Francisco Bay Area would sustain billions of dollars in damage and the high possibility of fatalities. How accurate was that assessment for the most recent round of California flooding?
Well, it's just a fraction of what we estimated. And just to clarify, we've sort of said agencies involved in this. This was a U.S. geologic-led study. I think there were 120 almost scientists involved. So certainly I was one of those, but there are many, many people involved. And actually, the USGS is updating that scenario now. Unfortunately, we don't have the details for that. But I think one of the important metrics to kind of think about is just really the duration of flooding back in 1861, 62, 43 days, I believe, of continuous rainfall. Whereas what we're seeing, what we've seen in last year in January and March, what we're seeing right now, I just saw a report yesterday where state water operators are saying this has really been good in that we're not even having the flooding we had last year because we're having some gaps between storms. So we're expecting three to come this next week. We had two last week. And but those gaps in time are allowing the system to drain. Our reservoirs still have some capacity before they reach their maximum retention. So we are so far in pretty good shape. I think the thing that was really shocking about last week's storm was just the intensity that storm sort of hit different regions of the state when it came on shore with wind gusts well over 100 miles an hour. And that's also, that is consistent with what we estimated with the arc storm scenario back in 2010, 2011. I think we estimated wind speeds over 125 miles an hour. So I think, you know, there, most people think of hurricanes and hurricane force winds being something that happens only in the Gulf Coast and the East Coast, but it actually, that was one of the insights, I think, for a lot of, you know, for everybody even working on the scenario, but in communicating with emergency managers, is that this is a wind type event as well as a rainfall event.
That's a great point, Laurie. And, you know, atmospheric rivers, you know, are an important element of how California replenishes its water supply annually. So, you know, it's when you have these outsized events or additional contributing factors, like wind shear, that can really, you know, create, you know, a lot of damage and devastation.
Lori, 10 years ago, you were in our studios and I asked you the question, what should urban centers be looking at when it comes to their resiliency? So let me put that question to you again.
I think, you know, what I've seen in the last 10 years is really a real fundamental shift in planning as we think about climate-related hazards and also getting some experience with the extremities of climate-related hazards, be it extreme heat, extreme intensities of rainfall, extreme wind events. That, I think, that extreme, planning for the extremes and also thinking in a more multi-hazard way, not just thinking about these different types of hazards in silos, is really what's important. You know, we're really fortunate in California that some recent state legislation is really requiring jurisdictions to do this kind of thinking and planning. And hopefully, you know, that will pay off in terms of policy development as well.
Matt, between the wildfires and the flooding, is California becoming a state that's just not insurable?
I think the industry has to adapt, and the industry has to continue to provide the requisite solutions for policyholders. One challenge in California is I think only 2% of the population carry flood insurance. Even to a greater extent, those do purchase policies from the NFIP. With the cap at $250,000, you know, largely inadequate to meet the needs of, you know, many policyholders that have high value homes. I see the industry in the midst of a shift, really, that it's that personal lines client in states like California or Florida, for that matter, are sort of matriculating from the admitted market over to the non-admitted sector, where policies can be customized and solutions can be crafted that can meet the economic needs of the buyer and still provide the requisite protection. But again, the low penetration of flood insurance in the state, I think, is a serious issue.
Lori, how should governmental agencies be partnering with the private sector to solve the issue of flood, or can it even be solved?
Well, certainly back in 2010-11, when we wrote that report, we called for the development of more innovative insurance products and the partnering of government and the private sector in developing those products. And we're certainly seeing that kind of work going on now with more cap bonds, parametric triggers, different kinds of products that would kick in at different levels of loss. And I think we just need to keep working on that and also making sure that we develop the resources and the planning for long-term recovery after disasters, which is still something that we have a gap for in this country. We have to go back to Congress repeatedly asking for the funding to cover large-scale loss events like Hurricane Sandy, Hurricane Katrina, and we'd certainly have to do that after an event like the arc storm event when it's to occur.
Do you go along with that, Matt?
Absolutely. I think there's a lot the industry can do in partnership with government in order to create a more stable operating environment. Some have advocated for changes in the tax code as it relates to insurance company earnings to allow them to have a rainy day fund set aside for major cats and have that amount of money be taxed appropriately at the time of the premiums are dividended back to the policyholders or to the shareholders. But still, I think there's a lot we need to do in terms of resiliency and planning and understanding how we need to respond as a society and as a government in the wake of a major cat. Laurie, too, was involved in a lot of the recovery efforts in New Orleans, and there's so many lessons learned about emergency response, resiliency, and the considerations that need to be taken into account post-event.
That was Dr. Laurie Johnson and Matt Power, president of 180 Intermediaries. And I'm John Weber for AM Best TV.
Looking to get the attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms to do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day, find out more by contacting our advertising services business development team at 908-882-1706.